Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Nick Ashew on the Fan and the Team for the next 3 hours. And then there's a little more after that. It's always a funny schedule on these weekends with Commanders minicamp for rookies going on right now, NBA playoffs. I'm at Nick Ashew on all the socials. I loved it. I loved the way the NBA playoffs went last night, too. I'll tell you that. Minicamp right now is our first little sniff on what the rookies can do. I know it's early. I know we're in that spot where we don't have a lot in terms of a sample size, and it's dudes not in full pads and all that, but at least gives us something, right? Gives us something. Look, I've said this forever. You know, these draft grades mean nothing. It's what guys do on the field. The problem is we have to have this, like, delayed gratification, sit back, wait, and go, oh, yeah, well, maybe in 6 months we'll have an idea what this draft class looked like. Oh, there's also the draft class from last year that we're still kind of judging. It's a process. It's a big process. We'll talk to David Harrison at 1, so we'll talk to him in an hour. He's been out at Commander's rookie minicamp, so we'll get a little insight into what's going on there, too. Herod is back, and yet he's still working, still doing stuff. Just a little shout-out to him. Anybody playing? You know, it's not just athletes that play hurt, okay? It's all of us. It's all of us. Metal Chris, before we get started on this, though, I do want to say, can we spend the next 3 hours talking about UFOs or no? Is that not what we
I rolled in with intergalactic planetary for you today.
I mean, let me tell you something, dude. I know this shouldn't be a surprise, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be an expert, but I mean, my Instagram algorithm was already showing me this stuff since everybody was, you know, the whole going around the moon thing, everything in space. And let me tell you something. We can't deny it anymore, all right? That's all I'm going to say. This isn't a UFO show and any of that. I'm fascinated by all of this, even though it all looks the same and we don't know what's real. Here's my conspiracy.
I don't think we have a lot of new information. That's the thing.
Right. It's just the government saying, hey, here's some stuff that we think maybe could be. You judge for yourself. It's like they're throwing meat to the wolves and just saying, you guys figure it out.
I want to see an alien autopsy or something. That's what I want to see. You know, like the spaceship that's crashed. Where are the parts from this? Something like that.
Well, there's a million videos out there. But see, here's why you do it now. Because nobody believes any video anymore. We just look on Instagram and go, or TikTok, and say, yeah, that's fake. That's AI. Nobody believes anything. So now you can just kind of flood the market and be like, well, figure out what this is. It's something we don't know. And you just let everybody else guess. That's it. You're right. I want to actually have a press conference where an alien walks up to a podium and tells us why they're here, where they're from, what dimension they're from, any of it. I'm down for all of it. Let's go. We're not going to get any of that, probably. We'll see. Maybe one day. They got movies for this. Anyway, I'm fascinated by it. I know I'm not the only one, but I do feel like we just kind of brush over this stuff now. I'm like, why are we not talking about this more? This is actually something that's a big deal. But anyway, you know, we'll just Just keep rolling along here. Keep rolling along. So David Harrison going to join us in an hour. Maybe we'll ask him about UFOs too, but I think probably a lot of it's going to be rookie minicamp with this team. So we'll see. Maybe the team, the Commanders already live up to their grades, right? All right, so NBA playoffs keep going today. Last night, though, man, let me tell you something. Here's the thing, and I've been saying this since the beginning of the NBA playoffs. It's been a good NBA playoffs. And look, I know this about D.C., right? D.C. is very much a hoops town, too. I know, look, we're Commanders in football, and I understand it's all that's there. But anytime I do a show, there's a reason why I talk more NBA than a lot of people. Because I know that you care about the NBA. I've seen it. Like, whether it's the Wizards now, and suddenly there's interest in them again, and Ben Strober will join us at 2:30. We're going to, you know, look ahead to the NBA lottery tomorrow, which is like the real, this is going to be the, okay, here it is. Here's the moment of truth. Where do the Wizards actually pick? But D.C. is a hoops town, man. And the one thing I've always seen is that people will care about just the NBA in general when it's good basketball. D.C. sports fans are absolutely that way. And, you know, whether you care about the actual teams playing, you can't tell me those weren't some good games, right? You can't tell me we haven't had good playoffs overall. But I will say this. The Eastern Conference continues to show me that it is as wide open, not just this year, but for at least the next couple of years moving forward. And it gives opportunities for teams on the rise like the Wizards to really have a chance to build up to a point where you can say, all right, next year, play-in tournament or bust. Playoffs are realistic. Like, those are the types of things that if you look at what's gone on in the East right now, it's absolutely true. Really. Like, the East is completely wide open. Yeah, I know the Knicks are up 3-0 on the Sixers. I understand that they look like the team right now that's the best in the East, but you could still poke holes in them. We've had competitive games. We've had series. The Knicks were down 2-1 to the Hawks, right? The Pistons were down 3-1 to the Magic before they came back. The Celtics blew a 3-1 lead to this same Sixers team that can't win a game against the Knicks. And you look and go, no, I'm not saying that the Wizards are going to be a team that next year is sitting there in the top three in the Eastern Conference. But what I am saying is there's a path above them that could be fast-tracked very quickly to it being a reasonable playoff conversation for the Wizards. And yeah, some of it has to do with what's going to be tomorrow. And yeah, again, you got to have whoever you draft, whether it's number one overall, wherever they end to picking, we hope it's number one, wherever it is, you still at least have the you know, the player development take the next step, and there's going to be some other tinkering with the roster, and we have no idea what's going to happen with Anthony Davis, but you can't tell me that you don't watch these NBA playoffs and look at the East and say, you know what, man, the Wizards have a lot of young players, but that jump happens so quickly. I mean, the Pistons 2 years ago won 14 games, and it wasn't that long ago. Victor Wembanyama's in his third year. His first year, his rookie year, the Spurs, who I know it's the West, but the Spurs won 22 games. They won 62 this year. These jumps happen very, very quickly. The Thunder have done this twice, and it's if you look at the way the Wizards are built versus the way, say, the Knicks are built. All right, you watch the Knicks, and that's a team, they bought a contender, and that's occasionally can still work in the NBA. It's a lot harder to do that. They obviously traded a bunch of picks for all the guys they have. They built this roster with a bunch of wings, and it's about beating the Celtics. Don't have to worry about them this year. But if you look at so many of the other teams at the top of the East or the West, either side, a lot of them are built around mostly draft picks or like all draft picks, really. It's a little bit different with the Pistons. Cavs are down 2-0. They play at 3:30 today with the Pistons, and you know they've got kind of a mix on that roster. Some of the bigs they drafted, you know, some of their other guys, I don't know why they traded for James Harden. They're getting exactly what you'd expect in the playoffs. But you see where it is, like, there's more than one way to build in the NBA, but it's becoming more and more about developing that young talent. Now, what that looks like after the NBA changes the lottery odds again, I mean, I don't know. We don't know. None of us know. We have the idea of what this is going to look like. We have an idea of what the NBA is going to do. We know it's going to create chaos. We know tomorrow's probably going to be an S show, and it's going to be like the Thunder jumping up to the number one overall pick. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine if that happens? I don't want to speak it into existence, but I'm just saying there's a possibility that that's the case. 1.8% chance. No, 1.5. Whatever. Doesn't matter. The point is, there's still a slight chance that happens. But if you look at, you know, the way the Wizards have built this team, this is why for years, man, and it just drove me nuts. Where you're watching this same thing over and over again where it's like John Wall's gone, and you're trying Russell Westbrook for a year. We knew how that was going to go because Russell Westbrook never won anywhere without Kevin Durant, couldn't get out of the first round of the playoffs. And then it's like Bradley Beal and everybody else, and it's play for the 8 seed, play for the play, and like, no! Move on from this. You've got to gut a roster. Resets are okay, but you have to have a blueprint and you have to have a plan. And you can see, right? It's I look at it as almost like, if you were to buy something on Amazon, do you look at the reviews? I do. I'm a review guy for like anything I'm going to buy online. I want to see what someone else has gone through first. Tell me about it. Did it work? Did it not work? Give me the actual feedback of how all of it went. Did this thing suck? Did it fall apart? Is it cheap? Where'd it come from?
But now they got so many AI reviews.
That is fair, but they do have the like verified reviews, which I guess are real. Sure, that could be wrong too. See, here's the problem, Metal Chris. Exactly what you just did is the proof that we can't trust anything anywhere at all anymore. Just anything. Because even that, like, yeah, there's AI reviews that exist too. And I know that people pay for reviews. They do have verified purchases on there, and you at least have that. But like, when you buy stuff, do you look at the reviews?
I mean, I'll just tell you, there's some hilarious Amazon reviews, but I generally don't trust their reviews. Like, there's certain sites I might or whatever, like when buying electronics or something, but like, not so much Amazon, because people are so gaming that system. Any of those big sites, Walmart or whatever, like, they're all, people will fake reviews, pay people for reviews, pay bot farms to make reviews, whatever, just to flood. Even if there is like a bad review, they'll just have 100 other bots put a good one on, so you don't even know what's what anymore.
But
so,
you talk about like tech. I do the same thing. I'll read multiple
eBay,
actual
though,
like
eBay,
sources.
I'm all
for
about
the
reviews.
Yeah. I will do that. I will read about any sort of, you know, any camera I'm going to buy for my home setup or anything electronics, tech, anything. I will read unbiased reviews. Again, we can't trust anything to a point. So there's some level of just like, we got to accept somewhat.
You got to read a few of them, because if you just go with one, they may have been paid by the company that came in first or whatever. But if you read a few different ones and you start seeing the same couple models come up, like, that's when you start to know, all right, these are the real legit ones.
It's like the news, where it's like you watch one news source for one part of the story, watch another news source for another part of the story, and you piece it all together. That's the world I feel like we live in. It's like we have all this information and all these resources, but yes, it's, you struggle at times to actually figure out what the truth actually is and what we trust, because reviews can be bought, but there's a level of experience that's there. And you know, honestly, if just going back to where the Wizards are, like, and looking at what they're starting to build and how this is, like, what the blueprint has been, you've got the reviews in that show that it works if you do the right way. And what I mean by that is I look at the Spurs, who just won back-to-back games now over the Timberwolves after losing game one of the series, and they beat the hell out of them in game two, and they won in Minnesota for the first time since 2022. And we see what the Thunder are doing, how they've climbed, how they've built a championship team, and how they could win back-to-back. And the Pistons, I understand they almost lost to the Magic, but they still won 60 games this year, and 2 years ago they won 14. They all kind of built similarly, where it's a lot of homegrown younger players that they drafted. Again, some free agents are mixed in and all that. But that's the direction the Wizards are going. And that's why when I look at this East, I see something that is an absolute path to them being a competitive team, and being a team that is in the conversation for playoffs moving forward. And that should make people feel really good. Look, no matter what happens tomorrow, because there's a very good chance the Wizards don't have the number one overall pick. Like, a very good chance. And this draft is so deep that there's still a chance to get some really, really talented players that are going to be there. And look, in the end, if you're moving beyond just the East and you're looking at the entire NBA, the West is different, and the West has kind of been this way for a while, but it's a new phase now. We're probably going to be talking about whether you're playing in the East, you're playing in the West, whatever these teams are, even beyond the Wizards. And the conversation will be, but can you beat the Thunder? But can you beat the Spurs? You don't have teams in the East like that right now, but you do have teams, and maybe the Knicks become that. And maybe the Celtics are probably, you know, are aggressive. Let's be honest, they probably will be. And they're aggressive enough this offseason where then it gets back into, like, Celtics and Knicks. Those are the teams in the East. But do you have enough to beat them? They're not there yet, though. The Spurs and Thunder have built something where it's always going to be a conversation. And look, beyond the Wizards, because it's not next year's not about the Wizards being a title contender. Like, let's pump the brakes on that. But what it is about is them being a playoff team, and then what's the next step after that? That's the gradual progression of how you build in the NBA if you do it the right way. The overall around the entire NBA playoffs is, but can you beat the Thunder? And the Spurs are like the first team that you look at and say, they're about a year away from that. I don't think it's now, but I think they're about a year away from that at this point. Because we know the Sixers aren't going to be anywhere. The Celtics have to retool. I need to see the Pistons actually get to an Eastern Conference Finals and see how they play. And the Knicks did it last year, but that was still last season. What does that look like? I mean, there are so many questions there, and then it centers around big picture. God, it's the damn Thunder. and it's probably going to be the Spurs. And look, that's a testament to the culture they've built there. I mean, we talk so much about this with the Commanders, right? Like, having a culture that's just about sustainability, just about being a team that right now is, hey, year after year, we're talking about them winning the division, right? You have to have a baseline of culture, raising the floor. You raise the floor, and then it becomes about that level of consistency where you know you're at least going to be competing for this new level, winning the division. And then moving forward, it's about, okay, where are you trying to get a one seed in the playoffs? If you're the Commanders, you know, or the Wizards, either one, it doesn't matter. But they're about raising that culture and that floor to the point where there's a level of consistency where, you know, worst case is, they make the playoffs, but it's a second-round exit, divisional-round exit, whatever sport you're talking about with either one of those teams. That's where you want to get. You want to take those next steps because, look, we know it's really hard to actually be a sustainable champion year after year after year. Those are called dynasties, and the Wizards are a long way off from that. The Thunder are right there, and, you know, so it's in the NFL, you don't really have any potential dynasty right now. Sports in general right now, honestly, if we're looking
at the Chiefs, I mean...
But are they, though? Are you still... The Chiefs didn't make the playoffs this year, and I know Patrick Mahomes got hurt, but they were already out of playoff contention pretty much. They were, what, 6-8 by the time that Mahomes got hurt? So they were already almost eliminated.
I hear what you're saying, but if they bounce back this season, you can't say their dynasty was already over.
Let me ask you this. What would be a bounce back for the Chiefs?
I mean, it's what it was for years, that the AFC championship has to go through Kansas City. That's a bounce back. That's what it was for how many years, you know?
But what did the Chiefs do this offseason to tell you that they're better than the team they were before Mahomes got hurt? That was pretty much out of the playoff picture before he got hurt.
I know, and I hear what you're saying, but we still got to see him play the games.
Yeah, here's the thing that I look at the AFC right now. The Broncos are better. The Patriots are better. I mean, this is a dangerous statement for me to say.
The AFC West is better in general.
Yes, and that's the thing. I mean, right now it's not even the division for the Chiefs to run away with anymore. I would argue, and I know it's only one season, but Liam Cohen might have gotten the Jags into that spot where you go, that's a team that you actually have to respect moving forward. If you really go down the AFC, there's 10 potential playoff teams next year. Potential. Now, the schedule is going to come out next week, and we're going to get a little more of an idea of some of these things. We know teams' opponents, but I just don't, honestly, I don't think, like, there is so much parity in the NFL like you have in so much of the NBA, and I love it. I love the parity, but you got to still have, like, one or two teams that you look at and say they're still the contenders. You have right now in the NBA, the Thunder is a team that's still a heavy favorite over everybody else to win the NBA title. I would not look at any team in the NFL as a runaway favorite to win the Super Bowl next year. And in the AFC with a team like the Broncos, if Bo Nix is actually healthy, I know he had another surgery with that defense, adding Jalen Waddle to the mix, and then you got the Patriots who got better offensively this offseason. And again, like, the AFC is deep. It's insanely deep with the amount of teams that are there, where for years, the Chiefs were that team that it felt like everybody had to go through. You're not getting that as much right now. Now I'm with you, Chris. Like, Metal, there's a chance that we get to a point where the Chiefs are back there again. I just don't think that's this year. And I'd be honest, I think other teams have caught up to them now where it's not going to be like their division to run away with anymore.
Yeah, that said, I mean, there's magic with Mahomes too, man. I mean, that there guy is. Just pulls rabbits out of hats sometimes. So
that's called ref flags too, yellow flags.
I know, but we've seen him do crazy stuff, run right, throw left, perfect passes, passes that you're not even supposed to be throwing. They tell you as a quarterback to not throw, and he's sitting there nailing these ugly things. You know, like, I just... There's some magic that guy can do sometimes. So,
but I do feel like in some ways the Chiefs got so cocky because he was able to do that, that you get to a point where you just say, we don't need to add anything else offensively. We're good. Now, I know they signed Kenneth Walker, but, you know, Rashee Rice can't stay out of trouble. He's talented, but he can't stay out of trouble. I mean, are those receivers going to be better this year and more consistent? We've watched him deal with a lot of brain farts. I don't look at the Chiefs as a runaway. I get where you are in terms of respecting the franchise.
I'm not saying they are there. I'm saying, though, there's still a chance they could come back and pull something this year. Like, we don't know that yet. Like, they're not just, they're going to be in dead last and they're done. You know?
But what that shows you too, and like the way you're looking at them, here's what it is. It's they still have that culture where you don't totally write them off, right? Like, they've raised the floor. For the most part, that floor is still raised with them, where you at least respect, even when the evidence maybe points otherwise, it tells you they still have got a shot. Patrick Mahomes is a big reason, but that does show you that the Chiefs have a culture that allows you to at least believe they're going to figure this thing out. Whether it's the refs throwing flags or Patrick Mahomes' magic or whatever, something always seems to happen. Do I think that the Chiefs are going to miss the playoffs? No, I don't think they're going to miss the playoffs. But what I do think is that it's not going to be as easy as it used to be for them. And I think that's the difference. All right, we're going to look at the Commanders' win total next. Is it too low? What's the high-end, best-case scenario for the Commanders? And what's the worst-case scenario with the schedule getting ready to come out next week? Nick Ashew on The Fan and the team.
I'm Sarah Austin Jeunesse, The Moth's executive producer and longtime host of The Moth Podcast. Every week, we share true stories told live and without notes by real people from all walks of life. Stories about disastrous haircuts, May-December romances, photographing Pluto, fighting for justice, and so much more. Some stories make you laugh, some make you think, and many stay with you long after they're told. Discover the power of story. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Nick Ashew on The Fan and the team. Commanders win total 7.5. I couldn't wait to see when that came out. And it's kind of where I expected it to be, right? It's not even about betting, right? You don't have to bet to care about that. It just kind of shows you where, you know, the books at least, and then the public, if you will, thinks the Commanders are going to fall, sitting between like 7 and 8 wins. And, you know, for me, I think, look, a best case scenario for the Commanders, and let's call this best case, like everything goes well, health the way they had in 2024, winning games sometimes like they got a four-leaf clover up there, you know what, like they did in 2024 at times. It's a 10-win team. That's best case, right? Best case. Healthy, improved, free agents, exceed some expectations, Adafe Owe looks like Chargers Adafe Owe, things like that. Low end for this team, worst case, injury bug hits again and they're winning 5 games. I mean, that's a realistic possibility. It's not out of the realm here, and this is when you watch teams have injury bugs, this is the one thing that concerns me. It tends to carry over season after season, and some of it's on the training staff and maybe the way they handle things, and some of it's just bad luck, and there's a lot of factors that are in there. And maybe someone's got some sort of voodoo doll, I don't know, but I mean, last year, didn't it just feel like last year there was like a curse? I don't know how else to describe it. Every single second there was something, somebody was hurt with this team. But, you know, what I do know is this Commanders team was better than a 5-win team last year. I mean, they were. On paper. And I know on paper is dangerous, and we've played the on paper game with this team before, also because, you know, they've won how many offseason championships in past eras. So, you know, we don't want to just look at a roster and say, oh, well, on paper they look like this, so here we are. But best case scenario for them is probably a 10-win season. I'm not going to go high as 12, and, you know, but we can't rule any of that out. because 2 years ago it was supposed to be a rebuilding team and they won 12 games. So, like, it is there. But, look, they've got a lot of questions, but there's a lot of questions that surround other obstacles in front of them, right? The NFC as a whole feels very wide open. To me, it's the Rams and everybody else. Even the 49ers, I know they won 12 games, but, you know, what does their health look like? They're getting older. It's not like they've made any significant, additions that are groundbreaking, if that makes sense. You know, I know they signed Mike Evans, but he's 33. What's he look like? Things like that. There's a lot of questions that you can look at in the NFC, and there's a lot of questions that you could also have with just the NFC East. The Cowboys have their drama. They're always going to have their drama. A lot of it's with George Pickens. I don't care that he signed the franchise tender. There is always a chance that that becomes a problem this year, especially with George Pickens. We know the Giants are rebuilding. I think the floor gets raised with John Harbaugh, but he's going out and showing everybody that he's captain now. Already trading Dexter Lawrence, and then it might be a thing with Kayvon Thibodeau, especially once you get to camp, which I know is a while away. And even the Eagles. I mean, A.J. Brown is going to get traded. We know that. But it's then the Jalen Hurts. That's going to be... Look, the Jalen Hurts situation, you think this is going to be done? Like, there's one leak, and then everybody else is like, oh, everything's fine now because A.J. Brown got traded. No. Jalen Hurts is going to be the scapegoat of the Eagles. And this stuff does have a trickle-down effect, and also not just from a distraction standpoint, potentially, but it's also on the other side of things where it's... Look, it's going to be what you saw on the field. Again. This Eagles offense is not going to suddenly be better because they went out and got a bunch of random wide receivers and then drafted one in the first round. Like, there is so much more to it than that. It centers around Jalen Hurts. The Eagles are vulnerable, but they're vulnerable offensively. Defensively, they're really good. This is a really good defense. But how much can you carry a team where it's only defense and you're down a touchdown and you just can't claw your way back into a game? Because it felt like that a lot last year. The Eagles last year were a team that was down 7, 10 points, and they could not move the ball. That's a problem for them. But that also does put you in a spot where if you're the Commanders, you look at this and, you know, it's a drama-free team right now, because it is. They're the only team really that's sitting there and it's drama-free. It's based on actual football questions. You eliminate distractions that are outside of football, when really after that, all it becomes then is proving that your offensive and defensive coordinator are right for the position, that your quarterback can stay healthy. Because we know what Jaden Daniels can do when he's actually healthy, right? We know what the ceiling is. Bare minimum is his rookie year. I mean, that's bare minimum. That's not even moving beyond that. But then it just becomes other things. What does the running back room look like? The rotation, wide receivers, Antonio Williams, Sonny Styles, how dominant is he? Those are all football-related questions. That's not drama. And that's a big difference for this team, and it's a big difference from what we've seen in the past, right? It's kind of nice. Just, okay, we're not talking about anything with anybody's contracts. And again, contract negotiations are a part of it, too. They're a distraction to a point, but that's part of the business. That's part of how this goes. But it just, it feels all football for the Commanders, which is why I look at that high end, you know, 10 wins. I think 11's a little much. But hey, nobody thought they'd win 12 a couple of years ago. And this team is better, on paper, than they were 2 years ago when they won 12 games. So, you know, it becomes one of these spots where this is now the chance, because you've had 2 years. You had the first year, which is a big overachieving season, and then last year is a massively underachieving season. So we have one of each under the new regime. Ownership, trickle-down effect, everybody. Coaching staff, and I know it's not the same coaching staff, and I know it's not the same roster, but big picture with the new era. Well, you know, it's new era Commanders, right? Post-Dan Snyder, I guess, if we really want to just put it that way. You've now shown you can be one of each. Dysfunctional is not the right word. An injury-plagued mess last year, or a 12-win team that went to an NFC championship game the year before. You've shown you can do both. That's range, right? Like, that's serious range. That's Denzel Washington actor range. Like, can be anything, right? Just great actors. Just great. That's what they've shown the range of what this team can be, but we don't want range. You want a high floor, and you want a really high ceiling. You want to elevate everything, and that's what this team has to show. You know, in camp and preseason, you're going to get a little bit of it, but that's really what this year becomes now, is it becomes about this team showing that they've raised that floor, that they are a team that over the course of the next few years, even if there's a step back of a season, there's always the question of, well, yeah, but they can probably figure it out, right? Yeah, we can't count them out. I mean, like you said earlier, Metal Chris, right, with the Chiefs. The Chiefs have built that reputation where even if they have a down season like they just had, we don't rule them out completely. It may be a harder path for them, but we don't rule them out. That's what the Commanders have to get to, is the point where they're viewed the way that, like, you viewed the Chiefs. And I think that's a big difference.
I mean, it's up to Jaden.
It is. And that's really what it centers on. Is it centers on Jaden Daniels? It, look, I mean, let's be honest with ourselves. Isn't that the NFL as a whole? The NFL is quarterbacks as a whole. And you live and die by the strength of your quarterback, by the success of your quarterback. And that's what makes year three for Jaden Daniels that much more important. The expectations now for Jaden Daniels, higher than they've ever been before. The question is he Lamar Jackson or is he C.J. Stroud? Nick Ashew on The Fan and the Team.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
You know, Jaden Daniels went from rookie of the year to, oh my God, he's hurt all the time, to now serious expectations, serious pressure on him. I don't think he's worried about it. I don't think he's somebody that sees it as a bad thing. But it is something that's absolutely realistic. It's beyond now just fun rookie or young quarterback that, you know, has high expectations. It's pressure now. Nick Ashew on The Fan and the Team. And, yeah, look. This is year three for Jaden Daniels, and it's just weird. Like, you keep, I know, right? Time flies. Oh, they grow up so fast, but it really is what it feels like with them, right? It just does not feel that long ago that we were going. Because I remember, right, there was so much leading up to the draft in 2024, and it was questionable. We all knew Caleb Williams was going to go number one. But then after that, it was, okay, is it Jaden Daniels? Is it Drake May? And there was really a debate for a while as to whether or not it should be one or the other, the Commanders draft. And look, we do not have a solidified answer on what was better right now. I just don't do the recency bias thing. I know it's hard. Don't look at Drake May's regular season and Jaden Daniels in year two and think that Drake May was the better choice. Now, 3 or 4 years from now, we'll have a better idea. But that doesn't mean that there isn't significant pressure on Jaden Daniels. Some of it's on the team, putting talent around Jaden Daniels, right? Putting him in a position to succeed. When you have young quarterbacks, you have to put them in a position to succeed. That's the responsibility of the coaching staff, of the front office, of, you know, the rest of the just the offense that's with him. All of that matters. But that pressure that is on Jaden Daniels has gone beyond just young quarterback, hey, what can he do from year to year? It's now, hey, you got to show that you're a franchise quarterback, because contract's going to be a thing. Future is going to be a thing. What's the long-term viability of Jaden Daniels as a quarterback for this team? We know what the ceiling can be, but we also know what the floor can be. And that's what year three is really going to help us know, is whether year one was more Jaden Daniels or year two was more Jaden Daniels. But you do also have to put a significant amount of talent around him to obviously put him in that position to succeed, which is what Tim Hasselbeck had to say on ESPN.
I think the fear I would have at receiver just in general is they just don't have the top end speed that some teams have. And so the explosiveness, things like that, that the offense may lack, I think there's got to be some concern with that.
When you don't have, at least right now with what we're looking at with this Commanders offense, when you don't have a receiver room specifically that's, you know, one of the higher ends in the NFL, it's not. We know that, right? At this moment, it's not. That becomes one of the biggest questions that are there. But here's the thing. It's not just about, hey, you got high-end speed, like Tim Hasselbeck said. Yeah, like, that's part of it. But it's Antonio Williams can add that to the table, obviously. That's what he was brought in for. We know that Terry McLaurin's going to be Terry McLaurin, right? Healthy Terry McLaurin is going to probably get 10 targets a game. That's already been basically said. But then it just becomes a question on the depth and the rest of these receivers all the way across the board. Look, I think Luke McCaffrey is in for a bounce back year this year. He was showing improvement as a receiver, not just one of the best returners in the NFL before he got hurt last year. I mean, do you then see, you know, the rest of this Commanders depth chart as a whole start to look less unappealing, right? Because that's really the knock around them. And look, Chigakonkwo too, I know he's not a receiver, but he's a pass catcher. And he's a tight end that can be a significant weapon for this offense. I know we like Treylon Burks, and I know we saw the one catch and think, we've seen this before with receivers. I'm not counting on Treylon Burks being that guy that takes that big next step and gets you 5-6 targets a game, or 5-6 receptions a game, and becomes somebody that's significant. But maybe it's a Ja'Cory Brooks. There was a lot of hype around him. The whole point here is that you got a lot of names on this depth chart, but it's only part of the surrounding Jaden Daniels with talent. Because it's the other side of the football, too. And it's building a defense that's going to keep them from having to play from behind the entire time. Like, that's, everybody always talks about, surround Jaden Daniels with talent, surround him with talent. You hear Tim Hasselbeck there, doesn't have enough speed around. Yeah, I mean, that's part of it, sure. But you've got to also take care of the other side of the football, too. I mean, if this, seriously, just think about this for a minute. Imagine we're gonna go into the future. I'm going to get into a crystal ball here, and we're going to move ourselves into the future. Imagine that Jaden Daniels has a middle-of-the-pack defense with the Commanders. When I say middle-of-the-pack, right, we're talking 15th or 16th in total defense. They're respectable against the run. They're respectable against the pass. Like, it's enough where you can say, all right, this is a defense that maybe will get you a stop when you need it, right? We're just looking for maybe at this point. I know that's not a very high ceiling, but it's something. We're going step by step here, right? We're going Wizards 17 wins to Wizards play-in tournament type of next step up with this Commanders defense. But if that's the case, and Jaden Daniels is healthy, and this offense is structured in a way that's creative, that's consistent, that also runs the football more, unlike Cliff Kingsbury did in the past, Jaden's going to be under center a lot more, too. Does that work for him? Like, those are the types of things that if they come together, we know the offense is going to be elevated because of Jaden Daniels healthy. But adding that defense that's middle of the pack to the mix elevates this team to well over that 7.5 win total. It elevates them to a 10-win team with a schedule that's, it's not going to be easy, but it's not a first-place schedule. And again, the schedule thing is dangerous because, again, it's the spring. And once we actually see it, we know the opponents. We know there's some good teams, there's some bad teams. But what do they really look like in December, right? Like, what does that schedule look like after you've gone through a big bunch of it? So I think there's a lot to be said for that. But, yeah, I mean, look, Brandon Ayuk's probably going to be added to this team. It feels inevitable, and it's going to be a long, dragged-out process. And we're going to speculate on that until probably training camp, and we got months until that happens. So just have to accept that, like, that's going to be a part of it. But this team on paper is certainly better than where they were last year. But it became more than just, hey, here's a bunch of one-year deals for guys. I know there were some that were still one-year deals. I know there's still some prove-it deals. Every team's going to sign some guys to that. But there's a level of commitment to some younger guys on this roster, on both sides of the football, that if they do hit, and if they do turn out to be players that have taken that next step, that have grown, that have gotten better, and more opportunity has allowed them to contribute more. Again, I use the Dorrance Armstrong example all the time. If Adafe Owe, Leo Chenal, whoever, start to look like, you know, just even take that step that Dorrance Armstrong did coming over from Dallas to here, like, that's a difference maker. That's a better defense. That's a better team. And I'm not one of those people that sits there and is like a homer. Like, I'm as jaded as a fan of this team as anybody has been in this town. I've suffered through it. I'm from the era that's mostly seen terrible, you know. So yeah, 2024 was amazing. 2012 was the next great year that I have had, that I've experienced as a fan of this team. That's why, looking at this, it is realistic to say it's not what it used to be, but it's not where it needs to be yet, right? There's like this middle. And again, there's plenty of people, front office all the way down, that have things to prove. But because it's more about football, and because you have Jaden Daniels, and we know what he can be when he's healthy, the expectations are higher for him, but the expectations and the hope is still higher for this team. Now, granted, if they start off 1-3, then we're all going to want to lose our minds, and I'm right there with you, and I get it. And if the rookies all look terrible, then you're going to go, well, maybe Adam Peters can't do what we thought he was going to be. Right? Can't build a team the way he thought it was going to be. He's played with all, you know, been in the front office for all these winners, but can't actually do it himself. He still has to prove that. I get that. But you can't look at this and at least not say that this is a team that's in a better position than where they've been. And it's the best position they've been in on paper and with the future in terms of how they've started to construct this roster in a real way, not in a just let's throw things against the wall and put things together with duct tape and paper clips the entire time. You've actually taken it beyond that. Because they've been able to do that now, it makes you at least feel like there is a level of direction that's there. So, long way to go. Long way to go. And the question, of course, becomes whether or not 5 wins or 12 wins was more the fluke. Because 1 was a little more of a fluke, right? Like, 1 leans that direction more than the other. And that's what we got to figure out in year 3 with all this. I'm Nick Ashew on The Fan and the Team. So John Wall is going to represent the Wizards at the lottery. It's the only choice. We are one day away from that. The actual lottery drawing. It feels random. Dude, I don't know why, but like 3 o'clock on a Sunday just doesn't... I mean, they're not going to do it right at 3. It's
Mother's Day Sunday.
Right? The timing, it's usually been... I think last year it was like a Monday at 7, you know?
Remember daring the NFL to try to take another day from them?
Yes.
Another holiday or whatever.
I don't understand. Like, I don't get it. I don't know why they're doing this in the middle of a Sunday afternoon when there's so much hype around this. Not even the draft, just the lottery. Just where teams are going to draft. There's more hype around this NBA lottery than there was, you know, the draft 2 years ago when Alex Sarr got drafted by the Wizards. I just don't understand what the NBA is doing. Usually they do a decent job of, like, reading the room when it comes to this type of stuff. I understand there's knee-jerk reactions to things like tanking and going overboard with some of the changes they make, but this just felt kind of lost to me. I don't know why they're doing it, but they are. They are going to do it. And look, the Wizards, I'll say this. There is a very good chance, I don't like saying it, there's a very good chance that the Wizards don't have the number one overall pick. I mean, if you really look at what the odds are, 3 teams with a 14% chance at the very top, there is a very good chance that there's another jump. The last 2 years alone, we had the Mavs go from 11 to 1. We had the Hawks go from 10 to 1. That's the last 2 years. The last time we've had a team that has had, you know, been in that top tier, because again, they moved it a little bit, but in the top tier for the best odds to have the number one overall pick and actually getting it was the Pistons, and that's 2021. So that was a long time ago. And if I were to run a sim right now, hold on, lottery sim. All right, Wizards came in at number 2 here, which fine. Darren Peterson at number 2. long as he stays away from creatine. That story, good God. I mean, the full body cramps, that explains why he was going through what he was going through last year, right? And so this is why sometimes when you're leading up to the draft and there's all these questions around certain players, this is why teams do, obviously they did it in the NFL, and you're going to have the same thing in the NBA where teams are going to sit down with A.J. Abanza. They're going to sit down with Darren Peterson, Cameron Boozer, everybody else, go down the board, and it's not just workouts. It's going to be individual meetings. They're job interviews. That's what they are. It's getting to know that person, and now that the story's out there with Darren Peterson, you obviously hope he doesn't ever have those issues again. Taking way too much creatine, clearly. You only need 5 milligrams, dude. That's it. You don't need more than that. Just 5. But you don't want anybody to go through full body cramps. I mean, that's scary. But there's every little detail is going to be combed over for this draft. And if you have the number one overall pick, it's most likely A.J. Abanza for whoever is going to be picking there. I think it would be kind of shocking if it was anybody else. But Darren Peterson's, you know, look, he's not that far off. And it's look, if the Wizards do, knock on wood, get lucky enough to have the number one overall pick in this draft, that could be a franchise-altering moment. But there's a lot of chances for a lot of franchise-altering moments in this draft. Look, I really think that there is a strong chance that things go the Wizards' way health-wise alone next year, even with Anthony Davis being a giant question mark in terms of what his status is with this team. There can be a massive jump for this Wizards team next year. It's not crazy. And I know, like, I keep talking about the Thunder and the Spurs and the Pistons as teams, but that's your proof right there. Those are the teams that are like a year or two ahead on a timeline. And you see the Thunder go from 24 wins to an NBA championship in, what, a few years? I mean, and then to the 2020, you know, the end of 2022, they had 24 wins, right? The Spurs were in the low 20s, Wemby's rookie year, and yeah, you know, these big jumps do happen. It's not the NFL where you're going jumping worst to first all the time in 1 year, but you do have this like slow burn, boom, big jump, and then another big one after that, and that's the difference that this draft could make. Now, you know, you don't necessarily need the number one overall pick to still get a really quality player in this draft. I mean, there's other teams that are looking at this. If they finish in the top 10, you're getting a really quality player in this draft. But yeah, you'd rather have the choices. You'd rather have those opportunities. But the hope is that John Wall brings that good luck, right? I'll tell you what, I still think back of this. That short era of John Wall and Bradley Beal healthy and playing well together, that goes down as one of the bigger what-ifs in sports history for me. Like, as a not even just as like a Wizards fan, not even just looking back on that era and just watching it going, like, this could be something really special. You go back to that John Wall, Bradley Beal peak era, short window, couple of years, just losing in the second round, but even Wall was hurt, you know, the point there, and you had these series where you're going, man, if they're fully healthy, it was just always about health. And look, that's why it's reasonable for people to be concerned about Jaden Daniels and his health. Health can sometimes be avoided in the way you take care of your body, and sometimes it isn't avoidable. Sometimes it's just bad luck, or, you know, a certain athlete's body just doesn't hold up to the rigors of an NFL or an NBA schedule or whatever sport, right? Like, it's a big jump, and there's a big difference, and injuries have derailed some really bright futures and really just could have been great careers. Now, there's other things, too. Like, if you're talking what-ifs in the NBA, I mean, there's multiple angles you could go. I always put Kobe and Shaq at the top. I mean, they could have won, like, 7 titles. I mean, really. Those two together was just the perfect pairing on the court. It was just both wanted to be the man. And, you know, they both won championships after they broke up. But I think of that Kobe-Shaq era, like, that was the next phase. After Jordan left, Kobe and Shaq should have been the next era the entire time. But then there was that gap, and LeBron comes in and all that. But, I mean, there's a lot of names out there. We've seen plenty of them, and injuries in all kinds of sports. So the hope is that this time around, you don't have the Wizards dealing with a what could have been. Because if you even want to go back more, right, go back before then, you had that big three of Antoine Jameson, Caron Butler. Well, Larry Hughes was in there for a part of it. And, you know, but, like, let's even just go to the Antoine Jameson, Caron Butler era. That was a great playoff team, too. That was just Gilbert who disrupted that a little bit. But you had that era for a little while, too, and that's a what-if. What-ifs, look, we all live life with some level of what-ifs, but the Wizards have quite a few of those. And, you know, when I look at what they had with John Wall and Bradley Beal, You just hope that this time around, with all the young guys they got on this roster, that this is something that carries over for something more long-term. And that's why taking care of your body and the athletes now focusing more and more on that and, you know, recovery and all that matters, because it's the more you learn about it, what is preventable is the stuff that you want to keep going, that you want to make sure that you put a lot of effort into. Because, man, if they could get A.J. DeBonsa, I mean, that guy could be the face of the league in a few years. Really. Like, that's not out of the realm of possibility that A.J. DeBonsa is talked about as the next face of the league with Victor Wembanyama. And he's a wizard. And that would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? All right, David Harrison. Talk to him next. He is, he'll give us the inside and what's going on in rookie minicamp with the Commanders next. Nick Ashew on The Fan and the Team.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!